Welcome to the Living Word with Chuck Davis.
Reverse Thunder, Revelation 11, verses 15 to 19. Then the seventh angel blew his trumpet, and there were loud voices in heaven saying, "The kingdom of the world has become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever." And the 24 elders who sit on their thrones before God fell on their faces and worshiped God, saying, "Give thanks to you, Lord God Almighty, who is and who was, for you have taken your great power and begun to reign. The nations raged, but your wrath came, and the time for the dead to be judged, and for the rewarding of your servants, the prophets and the saints, and those who fear your name, both small and great, and for destroying the destroyers of the earth." Then God's temple in heaven was opened, and the ark of his covenant was seen with his temple. There were flashes of lightning, rumblings, peals of thunder, an earthquake, and a heavy hail. In our move through Revelation, today's portion is from chapter 8, verse 6 through chapter 11, verse 18. I've only read the end of that, chapter 11, 15 to 19. I encourage you to go back and read the remainder on your own so that you get a picture of the overall piece. It just was going to be so long that I thought it would just be prohibitive to talk something about what's happening in this section. We have three sets of seven that are introduced to us in these middle sections of Revelation. Seven seals, seven bowls, seven trumpets. We talked about the seven seals in one of our earlier podcasts. One of the, what I would call interpretation strategies, or what you could call a hermeneutical take on Revelation, was to try to figure out when and where these seals and bowls and trumpets take place. To me, I don't think it works that way. When I see them impacting every slice of history, every epoch of history. I can point to things that would be identified in all of these things, and people in every age have read it as for their age. Eugene Peterson says, in looking at these magnificent central pieces of seals and trumpets and bowls, "I do not read Revelation to get additional information about the life of faith in Christ. I've read it all before in the Law and Prophet, in Gospel and Epistle. I read the Revelation not to get more information, but revive my imagination that old truth is freshly perceived." When you go through these passages, you recognize how many echoes from the Old Testament are there and how many declarations we find from the New Testament. And so for me, it's kind of a useless tactic to try to figure out and identify or even explain some of these aspects, but to look at them in their overall arc. What's the central message? And one of the messages is that judgment is good news. Now, I want to make this clear. Judgment is real and terrifying and not arbitrary. There is a cause and effect that's happening here. Sin has to be dealt with for us, and it was dealt with for us at the cross and in the resurrection. But again, creation has still gone haywire, and we sense that the brokenness and the discord is everywhere. Paul reminds us in Romans 8 that creation, the globe itself, groans for the redemption of the sons and daughters of man. And so the collective nature of all of these seals and trumpets and bowls is to point to the overall brokenness of the world we're still living in. Remember, this was written to an early church that was suffering. This was written to a church that was threatened on every side. This is written to a church that we saw even had compromised in some ways in the first letters that Jesus sends to this church. But it's not really about predicting something in the future, but it's about showing how this is not necessarily arbitrary and the fault of the churches, but it is the movement of a dark kingdom in this world. The reality is there is demonic persistence. Now, again, we've talked about this earlier. There's a mystery in this. Why does God give Satan such a long leash? Recently, I heard a talk by John Mark Comer, and he talks about the active and passive wrath of God. God's act of wrath is when he strikes in. We think of the situation when Joshua becomes aware of Achan's sin and the ground opens up and swallows up his family. We think of the situation in Acts chapter 5 where two of the members of the church lie to the Holy Spirit, the way Peter interprets this, not just lying to the church, but lie to the Holy Spirit because they allowed Satan in their hearts, Ananias and Sapphira. God's active wrath and his judgment comes in. The reality is that God's wrath is far more passive. He allows things to go forward in their consequences. And as I've said before, maybe the leaving of this authority that the enemy carries is to continue to shape us, that we would be the people that we were supposed to be. That God is waiting for us to step into the role that we were originally given at creation. The so what of these multiple trumpets for me is that God is alive and well, but I need to remember Satan is alive, not well, but he's against your well-being. But there's an end coming. This seventh trumpet ends with praise. It uses this phrase, God has begun to reign. Well, we know God has always reigned. It's the declaration that God's putting his foot down. And the way he puts his foot down is through the church, because we exist to advance the kingdom of light. The now what, I'm going to borrow from Daryl Johnson in his commentary. He says there's basically three responses for us in this. First, we need to repent for any ways that we're cooperating. We need to intercede. The bowls of incense that are up to heaven are playing a role in the unleashing of God's correction in this world. And we need to witness. We need to prophesy. Thus says the Lord. These are the realities of our world. Our world is not as it seems. And we need to be the people of hope in the midst of it. Lord, we do pray that you'll give us the same attitude as Eugene Peterson of not trying to figure everything out, but to have revived imaginations, knowing that the spiritual warfare is strong around us, that we would take our stand, and that we would be part of the people who give thanks to you, O Lord Almighty, who was and who is, that your great power would be released in our world. We offer ourselves to you this day in Jesus' name. Amen.